Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, September 4th, 2012, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-hosts, Lavendar and Anastasia. This evening, we're very proud to present our sister, Tammy Stair, to our Starseed audience to talk about remote healing, and I have to say from my own personal experience, her gifts are astonishing. She was with us last May for the Sacred France Starseed Quest with Kathleen McGowan, visiting sites where Mary Magdalene taught and lived, and it was there that something quite miraculous happened for her, enhancing her gifts, and she'll be telling us about that. Tammy's been a part of our Starseed team for a very long time, but she's always preferred to work behind the scenes. So tonight is our coming out party for her, and we're happy to be sharing her work with you. As you can see by the orbs captured in the photo of her at work on the radio player, she works with very powerful energies. And she'll be offering some tools that anyone can use to help clear unwanted blocks, and we'll hear firsthand accounts about her work. One of the things I love most about Tammy is her unfailing sense of humor, and she incorporates that into her work while maintaining integrity. So please check her website out after the show. It is TammyStair.com, and that is spelled TammyStair.com. At the top of the show, we'll have our Starseed News segment with Anastasia, bringing current events of interest to Starseed and sharing some emails sent to us from around the globe. And we want to thank Chris for hosting the switchboard this evening. And we invite you to call in with questions or comments tonight. And the number is 917-889-8292. And do remember to press 1 on your keypad so we know you want to come on the air. If you like our show, we encourage you to click follow on our show page, and you'll get our show notices, and it will help promote our show and guests. And then remember to tell a few friends about us. And we're happy to see that this week, the total number of listens to our show will go over 200,000. So we want to thank you all for tuning in every week. For our new listeners, our main site is starseedhotline.com, where we have a lot of vital information for Starseed in our vault of knowledge. The entire site is coded for Starseed activation, and we also have a support forum for Starseed at starseedhotline.ning.com. We'd also like to thank Rose, Anastasia, and Sahar for their continuing great work and dedication on behalf of our Starseed Forum. You can also find us on iTunes if you'd like to download our shows to go. So we'll get started in just a moment with the Starseed News, but first I'd like to let you know that if you want to contact us privately, the toll-free number for our site is 888-881-0881. Our Stage 1 Starseed confirmations are based on Lavendar's discovery of star markings and your natal astrological chart. And the Stage 2 session is a one-on-one phone session available with Lavendar, Anastasia, or myself. If you have a birthday coming up, you should know when your 10 hours of power will occur by getting your solar return timing. And please allow 2 weeks ahead of time to make sure you get it in time. So now I'd like to introduce my co-hosts, Lavendar and Anastasia. Good evening, ladies. How are you doing?
Good evening. Hello, everybody.
Hi, Anastasia.
Hi.
Lavendar here, and we have a great show tonight. But, Anastasia, why don't you just go ahead with the news?
All right, we'll start out with that happily. I want to start real quick by thanking our Starseed listeners that wrote to me this past week. Bless all of your hearts. You're wonderful. I want to give a special thanks to Denise. She sent me some wonderful photos of her art with orbs on them. It was very nice, Denise. Thank you. And I want to thank Audrey. She wrote to me. She's keeping her eye on the skies in Missouri. She saw some lights. And I'm just asking her and everyone else out there to keep your eyes open for any sightings and give me a report. And I want to thank Joseph. He sent us, both Lavendar and myself, sent an email of a mothership cloud photo. And by the way, I think I'll just, Joseph, I'm going to just give you some credit here a little bit further before I go on with my other acknowledgments. I'll stop right there. Joseph sent us this email, and it came from the Light Circle e-zine. I want to give credit to those people, but Joseph forwarded it to us. And the caption on the article was Giant Cloud Mothership over Austin, Texas on August 31st, 2012. And this is a photo that, I'm sorry I didn't get out to you soon enough in our Starseed newsletter because I just got it. But the photograph is just amazing. And the person that wrote this email that he forwarded to me said, the clouds have been absolutely stunning over the last couple of months. And he said he took this photo of this particular enormous cloud on the night of the full moon on the 31st. It's an Lavendard, you saw that picture, didn't you?
Yes, it's an amazing picture.
It's an amazing picture, and maybe we can put that up on the forum. I don't know if we can or not. Actually, this is someone else's photograph. But anyway, I wanted to thank you, Joseph, for sharing that with us. It's absolutely gorgeous, and I really appreciated that. So anyway, it was a beautiful photograph. And I wanted to thank Susan. She shared photos of light orbs in her yard, and wow, that was really amazing, Susan. I sent you an email. And I want to give special love and healing energy to our dear friend Ted, and I want to thank Jessica also for emailing me some information about some of her experiences. So thank you, all of you, and all of those that I'm not getting to tonight. I love you all and appreciate your feedback and sharing what you're knowing and what you're experiencing. It's just great, and we really appreciate it very much. Okay, so I want to start with a little space news. Something really significant happened yesterday. We had a CME impact from the sun that occurred yesterday. It came from a C-class solar flare, which isn't really a very large flare, but they described it as a huge, enormous, spectacular plasmic eruption from the sun that finally reached Earth yesterday. It hit Earth's magnetic field at about 5 a.m. Pacific time, and the impact induced measurable ground currents in the soil of northern Scandinavia. And it sparked bright auroras around the Arctic Circle. So that was amazing that the CME was so strong, it produced a ground current here on the planet. Isn't that remarkable?
Wow.
So I'm gonna, there's just a lot of things happening with the sun. But that's really remarkable, and we just need to keep an eye on that. A lot of things happening with the sun, and certainly there is a reason to suspect that this may be influencing our planetary climate and so on. So having said that, speaking of climate and space, there have just been a huge number, once again, you guys, of meteors being reported all over the world and fireballs. And one of these was over Texas, Arkansas, and Oklahoma just yesterday. Now, Lavendar, that's in your neck of the woods. Did you happen to look up in the sky yesterday and see anything unusual, or did you hear anybody talking about it?
No, I was okay. Too busy watching the All-American Fraternity Horse Race.
Okay. Well, this came – that sounds like fun, too. Well, this came from a website, lunarmeteoritehunters.blogspot.com, and they report that over Texas, Oklahoma, and Arkansas – there were several meteor events. People are reporting that they were turquoise, large, very bright, moving slow, the brightest meteors one person said they had ever seen. Another person said it was 3 to 5 seconds. They reported it as being yellow and that it had a tail and that the yellow core had illumination around it. Doesn't that sound fascinating? Anyone who's ever seen a fireball, you know, you just never forget that. And another person, now this was somebody in Arkansas, who said that he spotted it going south-southeast at a very steep angle. And he said it was orange with lots of sparks, and then it turned green. He said it was about the size of the moon to him. So that's amazing. And then out of Texas, another person said, and this is the same, these are all occurring similar time zones, so they were all seeing the same thing from different locations. A person out of Texas said, it didn't travel as fast as most meteors, but he said it was a large green fireball with a little bit of red. And then a person in Texas, again, said it was lime green with red on the tips of its tail and brighter than Venus. And other people in Texas said that they saw it fragment and split into pieces. So this was something that really was spectacular over those three states, but that's not all. There was also a green fireball reported the 30th of August over North Carolina, and that was also seen from five states. First noticed over Asheville, I suppose. They said it was a rare green fireball at about 10:48 p.m., and they're saying that people in North Carolina, South Carolina, Ohio, Kentucky, and Virginia all reported seeing this fireball. And some people said it was 5 seconds, a blazing white shooting star that grew bigger, that angled down and turned brilliant green, and then broke into pieces. They're saying it was amazing. That's not all. We have more fireballs. Over Wales and Great Britain, there have been a lot of meteors sightings, and one of them exploded, causing a sonic boom before it blew up over Wales.
Oh, my.
Uh-huh. And it says, this is from, Mirror News in the UK is where I picked this up from. And it says, the article starts out by saying that after traveling millions of miles through the galaxy, a blazing meteor finally went out with a bang above a Welsh town. The force of the explosion at 11 p.m. rattled windows, set off car alarms, and woke up children. Residents described it as a bomb going off. So that was in Wales. There's been other reports across the UK of fireballs in the recent months. So we have a lot of activity going on here in the area of meteors and fireballs and things in the sky. So I want to encourage our listeners to keep watch. And those of you in those states that I've mentioned, if you saw those, I would love to hear from you. And I guess that's about it for tonight. But I'm looking forward to the show, and I'm sure it's going to be great.
Well, we know it's going to be great, and thank you so much. It's just amazing I hate to keep using that, amazing, because people overuse that, but what else can you say?
Right.
Well,
with us going into this, colliding with this sister Sagittarius galaxy, and with the shifts coming, and, all of this astrological alignments, boy, this just is something to pay attention to. Yeah.
Well, it's definitely a spot
signals,
in history.
Yeah, it signals certain changes, I think. So thanks, everybody.
Yeah.
Love you all, and keep those emails coming.
Okay. Thank you so much, Anastasia,
sure,
with the Starseed News. Okay. Well, very special show this evening, and Lavendar, over your weekend, Lavendar and Tammy got together and recorded an interview. And then Tammy is with us. And when the interview is over, then we have more questions for her and people calling in. So, Lavendar, do you want to mention anything before I start this recording?
Well, I'm just so delighted that Tammy decided to come out from the shadows to bring us her talents and her abilities. You know, she's been working with us for a very long time, and we just loved having her on the trip to France. She was a great light and really helped hold the point and the energies for everything that we did over there. So why don't you go ahead and play the recording?
Okay. So this is Tammy Stair and Lavendar.
Well, we have a real treat for us tonight. Our friend Tammy Stair has agreed to have an interview with me, so welcome, Tammy.
Well, thank you for having me tonight.
You know, Tammy has been part of our Starseed team. We went to France together, and she's helped us on many projects that we've been working on. So, Tammy, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started?
Well, I got started about 10 years ago. We had a couple of My father was ill for about 5 years, and he passed away. And then my mother passed away 6 months after that, just very suddenly. And my youngest daughter was with me, and I really didn't notice. We found my mother. She passed away during the night. My daughter was with me when we found her, and it was really hard on both of us. And then about 6 months after that, my daughter was in a school bus accident and got a minor injury. And this minor injury just escalated. It should have been taken care of in a month, and she should have been okay. But it just went into depression, and she ended up with a team of doctors. And I just sat back and watched how just whiplash turned into depression. She was spitting up blood. We were at the emergency room once a week, and she just kept getting sicker and sicker, and she was taking 12 pills a day. And it got to the point where I started getting sick and started having accidents. I guess the breaking point for me was I fell down a flight of stairs because I was just so not with it. And all these dark energies started coming towards us. So we got in the phone book and found a Reiki master. I took my daughter for her first session. And when I walked into the Reiki master's office, she had crystals lined up all around her office shelf. And when I saw those crystals, I started remembering. And I started looking at the books in her shelf. And she had books on Atlantis and Edgar Cayce and all kinds of various things in the metaphysical world. And it just, like my light switch was turned on while I sat there as my daughter had her session. Then I started having sessions, and it was a couple of months when the lady we went to for healing recommended that we learn to do Reiki for ourselves. And throughout that process, my first Reiki attunement, usually it's a pretty mild attunement, and you're just supposed to go home and learn to work on yourself and feel the energy coming through you. When I had my first Reiki attunement, I went out to my car and worked on a hurricane that was about to hit Florida. And I just remembered and knew that I could assist in moving this storm. It just all flooded into me at once, and that started my journey.
Wow. Wow.
When I would have an attunement at the end of class, the other people would tell their experiences. Mine was always just seemed like a psychedelic experiment compared to everyone else's experiences. Yeah, I was seeing all the different rays were coming in, and it was just a light speed awakening.
And this was what, about 10 years ago?
10 years ago is when all the sickness and all that started. It's been 8 years, I believe, since first started with the energy work.
Okay. So after that, when you saw that you had these abilities, tell us about where did they come from? How did you get them to start working within your system? Give us a little bit more detail about how it works for you.
Well, I was very drawn to distant healing before anything else, before even thinking about putting my hands on myself or working on a person. I was immediately drawn to distant healing and working for the earth. And then the crystals came in, and I just started purchasing mass quantities of crystals and started making crystal grids. The area that I live in, the Great Serpent Mound, is very close to me, a lot of Native American sites. And I was really drawn, the first ceremony, I went and did a ceremony and made a crystal grid that I probably wouldn't even take on, attempt to make today. And I laid it on the earth, and it was so involved. I mean, it looked like a Parcheesi board. And all these energies came in. So it really started with my remembrance of doing earth work. And then I would feel the energies come up into me as I did the earth work. And that, I think that gave me more of an understanding of my connection and how we have this light stream of energy that runs through us. And I would feel how it would come down through my body and then go out my arms and fingers and just ground into the earth. Then I heard clearly to do healing work. I just feel so blessed to be able to channel this energy. When I first started doing this, I would go to practice groups, and I would always be teamed up with a person that would have a trigger for me. And as I would go to these Reiki shares, I just learned more and more about my triggers and how to work with other people, and I started observing how their energy ran and their chakras. And the more I work, still today, every time I do a session, I learn more. I learn more about myself, and through that, I learn more how to work with the clients. And it seems like the clients that are drawn to work with me are drawn to work with me because we have similarities, same experiences, same encodements. Now starseed are starting to come to me, and they might have been starseed all along. Certain people carrying certain patterns are drawn to work with me, it seems like.
So tell me more about what triggers are. What are triggers?
For instance, I had a lady contact me a couple of weeks ago, and she had asthma. And I had never worked with a person that had asthma. So we had a phone conversation, and I discovered within about 5 minutes that her asthma started the day she got married. They both had ex-husband children from other marriages. And often, illness is connected with something that literally is going on in our lives. The doctors tried to tell her that it was parrots in her house. But when we got talking, what are the chances that her first asthma attack struck her the day she got married? And then you have to take a look at how she has lost her voice in different ways. There's so many things that affect us, and then we can go back and look karmically, look at soul records, contracts, and agreements that she might have in her life that have caused this. And then just physically, I tap into the energy, into your light column, start at the top of your head, and I can tell in your light stream on the physical level where the blockage is, and then go up and check it on the other levels, the emotional level, the mental level, the spiritual level, and there's always usually a connection with an illness. Sometimes you just stub your toe, but sometimes someone might slip and fall at the airport and get an injury. And when you start asking questions about it, they weren't paying attention. They were involved in this and that and the other thing around them. It's so interesting to observe how we get to where we're at. And energetically, there's so many ways to discover that.
What kind of diagnostic techniques do you use to find energy blocks and imbalances?
Well, first, I tap into your light stream, like I just talked about, and a block will come up in the light stream. And I can tell in the body where that block is. And then I'll put my hand over the body, and I can tell if it's physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, where that block lies. Sometimes it's on all of the layers. I feel that energetically. And then there's a knowing, an intuitive knowing that I have. I can look into your chakras and see if the block goes into a chakra, if the block is with a person. Once again, there's just so many aspects. And usually if a client books a session and they call me and we'll talk about 5 or 10 minutes, I can get a good fix on just where whatever the problem is started from. And then we'll just go from there. It could be chakra work. It could just be physical healing, taking a look at contracts and agreements. There's just so many possibilities and ways to go in for a healing and to look at things. And so much to learn from it. I like for the client to walk away much wiser after a session and even with tools to use so that it doesn't happen again.
Tell me more about these contracts. What do you mean by contracts? Give the audience a little an example of maybe a case or two that you've had with contracts.
I'm working with a lady right now, and she's working on a farm, and she's having all kinds of dark energy coming at her, and she's just a wonderful person, very gifted. Behind her back, all these energies were coming at her, undermining her and her work. And so we took a look at the people that worked with her, and we create an office. And she would call them in one by one into her office. And we would call up on her desk, let's see if there's any contracts between you. And the contracts would show up on the desk. And a contract is not necessarily a bad thing. So we have to discern and look at the contracts, see which are serving well at this time, which are not, which are in violation. You can do that. Get rid of the ones that you don't want. And take your energy back, because we give so much energy away to contracts, agreements, vows, and a lot of them that we have made no longer serve us.
Are you talking about past life contracts?
Yes, those too.
Okay. All right. So when a person contacts you, now, do you see them in person, or do you do long-distance healing by phone, or both?
Both. If you're in my area, I would love to work with you in person. I have an office here in my home. But most of my work is done distantly. And I believe, actually, you can sometimes get more work done distantly with a client. You can get a lot of work done distantly in a half an hour to an hour. I ask permission at a soul level, and I call in all aspects of that being from all timelines and make it complete. And often I'll find that there's energies there that are trying to block the work that's being done. We'll call them out.
If someone sends you a picture of themselves, does that help you?
Yes. It's not necessary, but it is helpful to see the expression and the energy that the person carries. There's so many different ways to perceive a person's energy field, often just by looking into their eyes. You know, I can get a good take on the person.
But what if they're, say, you're in Ohio and they're in California, and say you don't have a picture, then how do you tap into their energy? Do you remote view? Do you leave your body? Tell us more about what the process is.
It's like I pull up an etheric double of them in front of me. Sometimes I'll use an object for the person to represent their body. But basically, I'm seeing an etheric double, an etheric blueprint of that person or animal or whatever it happens to be that I'm working on the area. I just get a picture of it in my mind. If I'm working on a liver, I just imagine that I'm inside that body, just like a surgeon with that liver. I just see that person's liver or whatever I'm looking at. I can pull it up in my mind. I guess that's remote viewing. And I always ask permission. Permission is very, very important to me.
Oh, absolutely, because without permission, it's a violation.
Yes, and especially with distant healing, you know, often I'm asked to look in on this or that or other people, and I won't do it without permission, of course. And it is a violation.
Give us some more examples about this work that you do. Give us, you know, without saying anyone's name or, you know, violating their privacy, give us an example of something that maybe has happened with you maybe recently. It seems like you were telling me about something that happened within a family member with you recently at a lake or by a boat or something. I can't remember now where you were.
Oh, my brother came up from Florida, and he had a real struggle believing. He wanted to believe in the work that I did, but a big part of him, he actually probably thought I was crazy with some of the experiences that I've shared with him. And we went to a family reunion this summer and went down to my sister's boat. And he's got diabetes and quite a few things affecting him physically now. And so he told me he's seen how happy I was and how at peace with my, and how sure of my work that I was. And so he asked me to work on his knee that had been messed up for at least 30 years. And I put my hands on his knee, and within 15, 20 minutes, his knee was healed. And the energy between us was so beautiful that my brother was accepting. I believe that was a big part of his healing, that he opened up and accepted full circle what I did and his belief system. He opened up, and it caused the quickening, and he had a complete healing on his knee. Well, he started running up and down my sister's houseboat steps, and I was afraid if he was going to injure himself, just what he was doing, and just almost shouting, I'm healed, my knee is fixed. So he comes back to me, he says, okay, you fixed this, now I've got this big knot on my neck. The doctor said, there's nothing wrong with it, but I can't turn my head. And he had a big knot on his neck. So I put my hand on his neck, and once again, 15 minutes or so, the knot went down. He's moving his neck all around. Once again, I said, Mike, you're going to injure yourself. If you're not injured already, it's going to be hurt with what you're doing to your neck. Totally tested out my work both times. So then the knot went away. Then he came to me with, it ended up 8 different things within a 24-hour period, and every one of them got healed on him. And I'm talking to Creator saying, is this a demonstration? Healings happen quite often in my work, but this just seemed like a demonstration.
Wow. Yeah, that's huge. Now, didn't he go home and tell some other people about your work, and haven't they invited you to come to Florida?
Yes, he actually works with a junior church at a Pentecostal church in Florida. And he went to his church, and that was really stepping out for him. They believe in healing, but, you know, I don't know how far their beliefs are connected with mine. And he told everyone at his church that he got healings. Some of the church members have contacted me and had sessions, and I did some distant work, and now they want me to come to Florida, and a group of people are gathering there to work with me. I'm very excited about that. It seems like since I went to France, I got an upgrade. I was really proud of the work before, but this summer, and even since I met you, Lavendar, when I had my first reading with you, you put so many pieces together for me in that first initial reading alone, and it empowered and upspiraled my work. It shifted it to the starseed state of consciousness and awareness, and I am so grateful. My work this summer, every time I do a session that I've done at least 50 times with someone, it's different, and it's escalated, and the healings are escalated. So thank you.
Well, you're welcome, and I don't really remember the session that we first had because, of course, you know, when I have a session, it's just a race from me. But I can tell you that you tapped into your natural state, your rites of passage, and all the lifetimes where you've ever been a healer, and you just started, you know what it's like? It's like zipping that credit card of your soul from your cosmic bank account, pulling it up and making it work for you. And that's exactly what you've done. And so your trip to France, you said, made a difference. Can you pinpoint a certain moment in time in France when something kind of clicked for you?
I believe it was when I was at Magdalene's Grotto.
Oh, yes, that was awesome.
Oh, I just got confirmation of that. I just got chills all up and down my body. I thought I had an assignment to do over there. And it started coming together when I purchased a crystal. And the assignment had to do with that crystal. And I was gifted and attuned to something that I had never called on. And when I was at Magdalene's Grotto, and it wasn't inside the little cave with the statue that got my attention. It was at that little pond with the bridge that was outside of it. And I heard to use this gift. And when I called on it and stood in a certain position, I seen so many timelines, and I saw the work that was done there. And I believe with all my heart that the assignment that I was to do was completed at that moment. And I believe I was gifted an upgrade also at that moment. I've never felt such energy ever run through my body. It felt like fire was coming off the back of my neck, maybe a foot.
Wow.
And I believe that was a very defining moment for me in my beliefs, in reconnecting with healing powers. Everything's been different for me since that moment.
Well, I know when I walked in there and I held the handheld crystals that I had used in Cairo, and I had them inside, and I did a particular movement with them, and I too experienced something that came up from the ground, from the top of my head, that shot out through my arms. And that was probably one of the highest moments for me on the trip also. What do you think actually happened at this spot from past times? What have you been given any insight to what maybe happened there during the time of Mary Magdalene?
I've seen flashes of pictures just in nanoseconds. What I saw was Mary Magdalene anointing people in that little pool of water outside the front and doing teachings there. And I believe it was connected with a complex, that complex that bordered the property that there's no sign of anymore.
Yeah.
But what I saw in the flashes was mainly women and children and Magdalene teaching and anointing. And
tell us more about the way you feel now about starseeds and how, when people are coming to you, how you identify maybe their starseed codings. Is there a way that's happening for you where you're feeling more connected to the starseeds that are showing up for you?
Oh, definitely. All of the clients that have, the new clients in the last year have all been starseed. They're all just, with this timeline, it's almost like a must for them to let go of what's been holding them from up spiraling. The darkest things. I've been seeing a lot of a lower chakra, a lot of things held in our lower chakras that still want to run us.
Are you talking about the sexual energy or the...
The sexual energy and in the second chakra especially, a lot in the sacral chakra where it wants to be the judge, the jury, the seer, the mothering, almost like the sacral chakra feels like its name's on everything. Kind of an energy where the sacral needs to let go and give it up to the higher chakras. Not that any chakra is greater or lesser than the others, but I have observed that we have ran from our sacral chakra. We even used it as our third eye.
Well, that's true. Well, that kundalini, when it runs from the base of your spine to the top of your head and activates your pineal, it becomes the all-seeing eye. That's true. That's very true.
And I've been seeing a lot of clearing that needs to be done in that second chakra. I've been doing this chakra process for quite a while. And here in the last couple of weeks, I've been shown, without even realizing it, working with a lot of ascended master state of consciousness. And I've been shown where I'm stepping into the starseed state of consciousness and state of awareness and the difference in the energy and even calling it in how it will activate and have the chakra system run differently and on a different energy pattern. So I'm just really grateful to be observing and seeing different ways to work with the starseed community. Just patterns, how the moons and the stars and the planetary alignments affect the starseed community. My phone will ring off the hook one week and everybody's having the same symptoms, the same problems, which is so interesting how the energies are affecting us all. Very similar.
You know, when I go to see my chiropractor on Thursday, I always walk in and say, well, what's the ailments this past week? And then he'll tell me, and they'll be all the same. And I'm going, wow, isn't that interesting that we have a flood of ailments that just seem to be coming to this particular chiropractor where I go. So I hear what you're saying. It's like a wave of energies, and because the planetary energies of the moon and perhaps Mercury and some other combinations will trigger people's behavior.
Oh, yeah. I'll even ask myself, okay, are you seeing this because you've just seen it two times before? But no, it's a pattern. And, you know, I'll double and triple check. Nope. It's a pattern going on and being affected by the energy.
I always say, yep, twice is a pattern.
Yes.
Now, I know that you have worked diligently with animals and that you can do distant healing with animals. Can you give us some examples of some of the work that you've done, maybe with dogs, cats, horses, or birds?
Yes, recently I worked on a dog in Georgia, and a new cancer process was being tried on this dog where they shoot an all-natural solution into a tumor. It's an interesting process, and then all this infection comes up in this tumor, but it causes a great deal of swelling in the body. And so this dog had this process done, and the vet went out of town. Well, all kinds of things started happening. First, the swelling got out of control. So I got a call from Georgia, and the swelling was escalating, and the dog was panicking because of what was happening to its body. So once again, I asked Creator, is this a demonstration? It seemed like within 30 minutes or so, the swelling had gone down and the dog had calmed down. The process of this shot just kept creating all kinds of infection to come up, and swelling just kept creating and recreating in this poor little dog. And to the point where it couldn't go to the bathroom because the sheath was swollen. And I would get a phone call and say, he can't go to the bathroom, he's miserable. And I would send energy, just imagine, that I was right there with the dog. I could just picture him. And with the process that I used to draw out swelling, and the swelling would go away. For 2 or 3 days, this little dog just kept having one problem after another. Couldn't have a bowel movement. Then it would be too much. It was maybe every couple hours something would happen where this little dog would need assistance, and the energy took care of it and assisted through the process. It was pretty amazing, and we have a little puppy here, and I used our puppy the other day to check in on the dog in George's wound. And our little puppy, when I put my hand on his chest, he had been having some breathing problems. He was real abused. We just adopted him. And he just went limp as a noodle when I put my hand on his chest, and he fell over backwards. So my daughter's holding him in her arms like a baby, and he's just limp. And I got such a kick out of how he enjoyed the energy. After I did the distant healing work using him as a surrogate, I went ahead and just gave him a whole body workout and ran the energy down his four legs, and he was just like a spaghetti noodle. My client got a hold of me from Georgia and said, "You are not going to believe the picture of my dog. I'm going to send you a picture." And before she told me about her dog, I explained to her what happened during the distant session. And the picture of her dog, he's in the exact same position, all laid back on his back, and he has the biggest grin I've ever seen an animal do.
Wow.
So that was confirmation. Once again, there's a quickening this year, it seems like. Distant healing, it's just like you're with me. It can get there light speed. You know, there is no time and space with energy. So it's like I'm right there with you when I'm doing the distant healing work. When I do a phone session, I'll have the client on the phone while I'm doing the energy work, and they feel it as I'm doing it, no matter where they're at in the world.
Wow.
And the same with animals, obviously.
So how does a person go about booking a session with you? Give us your website.
My website is tammystare.com, TammyStair.com. And on the first page, it tells about how to book a session. And I have a lot of orb photography, things I've written. Please browse my website.
You know, now that I'm thinking about where you're living and what you're doing, it seems to me that you were probably one of the first people that I started tracking the star markings with from Ohio. That there was something about you and some of the women that started coming to your classes and people that you knew. You were kind of the ringleader, weren't you, for finding groups of souls that start showing up with these star markings in 25, 26, and 27 degrees of Pisces and Virgo.
I got in on that bandwagon.
Yeah, that's right. I just now I'm remembering back when it all kind of started was when you showed up to have a session with me, and after that it was like you kind of opened the floodgates. And so when I think about it, you really opened the passage for our trip to France. Unbeknownst to you, unbeknownst to me, that's kind of what happened. Because as the end result of it was, we contacted Kathleen McGowan, and then other people started coming. But you were the one that really started everything. So I just want to tell you how grateful I am for you opening the door for these experiences that we had with the group to France, and some of the other experiences we've had with other starseed, and that you have been able to contribute so much with our forum and being on our switchboard at different times, and constantly holding the point, holding the light, and doing whatever needs to be done for the starseeds if they ask you. So I want to thank you so much. And again, your website is tammystar.com. And if you have a thought to maybe contacting her, do so, because this lady really is well connected. And I feel like that more and more starseeds that come together and express themselves through our radio show and through the experiences that we have together, the more that we hold the light on the planet. And so I hold you in high esteem, Tammy. So thank you for being our guest tonight. And back to you, Arielle.
Well, we have Tammy with us on the line, so let me just get your mic open here. And hey, Tammy.
Hello there.
Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. And we have some people that you have worked with going to explain it from their perspective. And first of all, I'm going to introduce Chris. Let me get her mic open here. Hi, Chris.
Hello, Arielle. Hi, Cammy.
Hello, Chris.
So, Chris, would you just please kind of explain from your perspective the work that you've been doing with Tammy?
Yes, I first want to say that I met Tammy in France, and Tammy is such a humble person that she didn't even talk about the work she does. So I did not find out that she was a healer. I knew she had a thing for crystals, but I didn't find out that she was a healer until I got back here. So I think it's a couple of months ago that I approached Tammy once I found this out, and I wanted to work on removing blocks that are there from past abuse. It goes back to, I think, about age 4. And so the first session, Tammy does this thing where she brings in your inner child, and it's like, oh, brother. My inner child never comes out. You know, she's like in a vault in my heart, and I can't. I've had other healers and psychics work with them, won't come out. Well, guess what? Tammy gave me some pointers on what to do because I said, you know, this kid's not coming out. And the next morning when I woke up, I heard her voice for the first time, my little girl. You know, in a child, Miss Chris, we call her, and she said, I'm not coming out. and I was ecstatic because we made contact, and it was Tammy's work and encouragement that really helped me get there. And since then, she, little Miss Chris, has shown up to help with more work. So I think she's coming out. She probably doesn't really know she's out, but I'm making progress in that way. The thing that really impresses me about Tammy's work is that it really is an interactive process, at least for us. She gives me assignments. I do the assignments, and she gives me gold stars because the next time we work, I'm in a different place than where she left me. And so I think that's one of the things that's so valuable to me is that she also gives tools as well as her gift. And her gift, let me tell you, she is tuning in. She's getting messages. She knows more about my problems than I do. So I listen to her. I trust her with my life, actually. And we've done some Kundalini work. I've never felt comfortable doing that. And we've actually cleared through all the chakras issues of abuse on the spiritual, physical, and emotional level. And I felt like a different person when it was done. You know, I was clear. And I'm also learning a lot. I've been something of a healer myself, and she's taught me lots of stuff, especially about the sacral chakra. I had no idea. So her work to me is invaluable. And if anybody ever wants more information, I'd be happy to share. So I say to Tammy, I love you, Tammy, and thank you so much.
I love you, Chris, and you bless my heart every opportunity. I'm honored to work with you.
Me too. So,
well, thank you so much, Chris. I can sense the feelings of success and connectedness to Tammy and really allowing her, you know, because like you said, it's an interactive process.
Yes.
So
we're not done. I'm in the middle of this. So in Arkansas, you know, you'll see what happens. what we're doing, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
Me too.
Well, thank you so much, Chris,
for
joining us. And now get back to work.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Chris.
Bye, everybody.
Chris is our switchboard producer. So thank you so much, Chris. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Next, I am going to I was going to go next, but I think I want to bring in another caller as I can find here. We're going to talk to Penny, who is calling from Florida. Hi, Penny.
Hi, everybody.
Yay, hey. Penny, we're so glad that you were able to join us this evening, and would you just kind of give us a overview of the work that you experienced with Tammy and the tools that you have?
Well, I was working with a lot of animals, and I had a lot of dark people trying to keep me from doing my work and really keep me off balance. And Tammy came in, and we created the office, as she had spoken about before, that was a really cool thing because you can make your own office. Mine happens to be on the ocean. And you go into your office, and you call these people in that you have problems with and see the contracts that you have with them so you can take care of those, because there's a lot of things that are no longer, they're null and void, so you can get your power back. And it's interesting to see after you do this that the difference when you see these people the next time, you can see a difference in them. Also, you know, helping you to learn how to stay in neutrality when you get these fiery darts thrown at you. And she gives you many different tools, and they're fun tools. My favorite one happens to be the gerbil ball, which she said you just put yourself in this gerbil ball and you trick it out however you want, and it can be a huge gerbil ball or a small gerbil ball or however you want. And it's like nobody can touch you when you're running around in your gerbil ball. And she has many different tools that were very, very helpful, and was able to help me stay in neutrality, which has been very hard for me to do in the past. And also, I've had some physical ailments that she was able to distantly work on me, and I had immediate relief from various different things.
Well, I'm just really happy that the two of you got together. And Tammy, would you please explain the gerbil ball? As I said in the intro before you get started, Tammy brings things in with a very light heart. You know, it's fun. Like Penny said, they're fun tools, but they really work. So explain the gerbil ball, Tammy.
Okay, the gerbil ball is what I call Pimp My Ride.
And pimp your ride.
Pimp my ride, because
you're going to have to explain.
We are a vehicle. Our body is our vehicle, and we're out there washing our car, shining our car up, giving more attention to so many other things than we do our vehicle that holds us and carries us. And through Pimp My Ride, you're putting intention into your space every day. You have this big gerbil ball, I call it, this big clear ball that you put around yourself. And you put your intention into this ball. What do you want to put out there today? You put protection around yourself. You empower your space. You own your space. You know who you are. You put that energy into your gerbil ball. And you just, it's a fun way to just throw down the gauntlet. And say, this is what I expect today. This is what I'm getting out of bed with today. And we have that free will to roll in that ball whichever way we choose, and to protect ourselves. And through just having fun with that Pimp My Ride, hopping in the gerbil ball, we're focusing our intention on what we're on our day, on how on the respect that we bring in, the power that we put in, empowerment that we put for our, out for ourselves. There's just the possibilities are endless with just Pimp My Ride, and it has us focusing. You know, it's like doing homework. When the teacher gave homework, you know, if it was how it was presented to the student, how interested you got in doing it. So I like to work fun and creative, and it's my belief that the funner we work, that also that the heavenly assistance comes in, because surely they're bored with hearing the same old prayers and the same old business every day. And I find the funner that we work, the more assistance even comes in. And working fun automatically puts you in an up spiral. That joy, it automatically puts you in the position of up spiral.
You know, it sounds so simple that it has to work. And
yeah,
certainly when you are kind of laughing and lighthearted, that dispels so much. You know, when you're really serious about something, and you got to really try hard, and you got to really focus, and that sometimes just, you know, pinches the garden hose and it stops the flow. But if you have something that's fun and comical, like you said, it's homework, and if it doesn't seem like work, it seems like fun. It's very much more empowering. So
I'll call Penny, and she'll have MC Hammer "Can't Touch This" going on in her gerbil ball, and we just laugh about it. But she has that "Can't Touch That" energy going. You know,
What is that about? Penny, what is that about?
When I was rolling around in my gerbil ball, because I could roll anywhere I wanted to, and nobody could touch me, and they just kind of would move out of the way as I would walk around or drive around. It's the gerbil ball is so much fun.
Well,
it's fun,
and
it's also fun because it works.
You can fill it with neutrality, and yeah, whatever you need for, you know, you're going down the road, you can pimp out your ride however, whatever you need at that moment. Call it in.
Yeah, and
we're
yeah,
that powerful.
And,
we're that
and,
powerful.
And protection, and it was just wonderful. And it's fun, and it makes you laugh, and people actually get move out of your way when you're walking. it just changes everything up a little bit. But the gerbil ball is definitely the bomb, and it can be any color you want it to be. Mine happens to be an amber color, but it's great. And it made me a lot happier, and it did change everything around me, because I went into a much happier mode and didn't let anybody bother me, went into neutrality, and even if they would try to bother me, I would just smile and say, okay, and then I'd watch them tip over, and that was even more fun.
Well, Tammy, what are some of the other tools that give a for instance, and maybe something that besides the gerbil ball that you've worked with Penny, other tools that people might find themselves in a similar situation that they could just use?
Well, I have the golden spatula.
The golden spatula. Okay, I got to hear about this.
And what you do with the golden spatula is when something comes at you, flip it. I say flip it like a pancake. You just get that golden spatula and flip it. Use your will to flip your perception. It's in an up spiral. And once again, it's just that easy. Imagination is information. I love working that way. And once again, when you get that golden spatula out, you have to go in amusement with what you're flipping there. Maybe something happened to your car, or you ran out of gas, and you just get that spatula out and you flip it and see the light side of things. That's probably not the best example to use, but many times I'll get a phone call during the week, and we just break out that golden spatula, and once again, just going into the lightness of what we're looking at, because usually things that come and smack us around during the week. They're not that big as they seem when they first come to us. And when you get out, by the time you get out the spatula and start using it, you're like, oh, okay, you know, this isn't that big of a deal. I can easily flip this situation. So that's another tool I use.
Well, that's great. That's great. Was it, Penny, is there anything else that you would like to talk about?
Well, I just wanted to thank Tammy so much for all of her help. She's helped me through the past month or so of some very hard times working with some very difficult people and teaching me how to stay in neutrality. And these fun little tools that just made it a fun game instead of a horrible experience. So thank you so much, Tammy.
Thank you, Penny. I love you, and I enjoy working with you. It's an honor.
It's an honor to work with you, too, and I look forward to working with you in the future. And thank you so much, and you all have a very good evening.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for calling in, Penny.
Okay.
And you can. I'm going to go ahead and mute your microphone, but you can continue to listen, and we are going to move on. So thanks so much, Penny. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So, during the interview there, Tammy referred to a client in Georgia with the dog that was going through a all-natural holistic cancer treatment. Well, that was me, and the dog is Duncan. And this, first of all, I just want to tell everybody that there is a new treatment. It came out in 2007, and it's been approved by the FDA for cancer treatment with dogs, animals, and it's called Neoplasine, Neoplasene. And Duncan had a growth on his sternum. It was probably about the size of a black olive, I'm a holistic person, so I have a holistic vet, and she said, oh, that's no big deal. We'll just inject this around the tumor, and it'll just fall off. Well, she didn't really tell me how intense and aggressive this is. So for the first 48 hours, hour by hour, just like Tammy said, things were changing. And the first morning after the treatment, he woke up and he had swelling like a 34C breast around this tumor, and he was miserable. He was shaken. He was scared, and I was desperate. And I was just like, Tammy, can you do anything? And the next morning, when he woke up, the swelling was gone. And, of course, then more swelling came because of this treatment. But the work that she did, because he's a very high-consciousness dog, and he was not understanding. He couldn't make sense out of what was happening to him. And, as I said, the first 48 to 72 hours were very intense, but it killed. I mean, that cancer just, like poison, it just drained right out of him. And then, but subsequently, he was sitting in his crate because he felt safe in there. His sheath swelled up to five times its normal size, and I was like, Tammy, he can't pee, and that's going to be some problems. And she worked on him, and the next morning it was back to normal size. It was just astounding, and he was much calmer. He slept that first night that she worked on him. The night before, he was miserable all night long and whining and crying. But the next night after she worked on him, he slept peacefully. He was not in pain. And then after the first, several days, like 4 days, it was over. Everything was done. He had issues with diarrhea and then constipation, and Tammy, like, she stopped the diarrhea, and then it's like, well, wait a minute, now he's not going at all. And so then the next, she worked on him some more, and then everything returned to normal. and now he's making a complete recovery, and he's completely cured. And I just, you know, when you see someone you love, and it doesn't matter if it's a child, a family member, or a pet. Duncan is like my child, and when you see them in pain, I mean, you just, the gratitude is just overwhelming, because of what you did for my dog. And I can't imagine what he would have gone through if it hadn't been for you, Tammy. And I love you for it. I respect you so much, and you just give so willingly. So I thank you for that.
You're very welcome. It was a treat to get to work with Duncan. He is a very high consciousness dog.
Yeah, he is. Remember, Lavendar, when you were at my house, you looked at him and you said, I have never seen such a high consciousness animal or dog. And that's my boy. So can you give some more examples of the tools that you give your clients and what they might be used for?
Let me think of some more tools. Well, I have, use a lot of visualization with my clients. Neutrality, I find, is so important to use. And just by even using different colors and rays. So I talk to them a lot about using that color of gold and going into neutrality. If you're having a problem with someone, or if you want to have a conversation and you feel somebody's just not getting your point, they don't even have to be with you. And I teach my clients, for instance, they have a problem with someone at work. They can just imagine that that person is in front of them, and you put this gold neutrality over their head, and you put it over your head, and just talk to them at a soul level. And it's just amazing when you ask permission and you ask to have this talk at a soul level. When you are with this person again, you know, if they are accepting of it, and a lot of times if they are, even if you have a dispute with them, it just will shift the relationship. So using gold is a big tool that I share with the clients.
It's very powerful. And it certainly, like I said, it's an interactive thing. I want to move on to another question here. What is involved in a soul retrieval session?
A soul retrieval session. I'll start it. I use the infinity in the soul retrieval. I love the energy of the infinity pattern. I'm kind of a symbol junkie, which we might get into here in a little bit. So I put the client in the infinity symbol, and then the other side, we create a screen. And this is the fun part. Some people have created big drive-in movie screens. It's a TV screen. When I do it, I have the newsroom wall of screens, where I just have a whole wall of screens. So we have the client on one side of the infinity and the screen or wall of screens in the other. And whatever we – usually I'll go with one subject, like abuse, betrayal, something. We'll pick one subject to go into. And if say we went into betrayal, we would start – and be real complete with this soul retrieval. And we'll start calling in the people, the places, the things, the symbols, agreements, religion. It's interesting when you start calling out things, what we have in our underlying in our system that's just laying there, taking up space. And often it's taken some energy from it. So on these screens across from us, we start calling out things. And if you own it, the screen will light up. And you don't have to look at a picture of it, get it all involved in it, because it does no good to look backwards hard at anything. but it is good to release things that we're still carrying. So we just light up pictures in the screen across from you. And then after we light up all these screens and just get really complete with the timelines, often we find that even in womb, souls will carry something, and it's something that they came in with. It might need to take a look at in healing. It blows me away at every session when I work with someone with this, just what is shown, and I work. There's so much to be learned from this soul retrieval. And after we light up all the pictures, then we create this umbilical cord between you and what I call a pain monster, holding all these movies in painful scenarios.
Did you say pain monster?
Yes, and the client creates the pain monster, which once again is fun. I have a client that has this big pair of lips. It looks like it's the album cover for the Rolling Stones. That's her pain monster. And sometimes the pain monster, the person is their own pain monster. Interesting to observe what this pain monster is. In every aspect of this soul retrieval, there's something to learn from it. So we create this pain monster, and he picks up this crystal egg that encases all these screens that you lit up, and we create an umbilical cord. And so the client can see how much energy has been given to all these scenarios, and the energy is always chugging, just like a big lumps of energy you can see in this umbilical cord between the person and the pain monster. So there, through this process, the client has the realization of how well they can see, which I just love because we can all see. And they can observe this energy, how much energy we give away from all of these. Say we were doing betrayal, all these times of betrayal, past, present, and future. All that energy you can observe, and then we call in everybody and their brother for assistance, and the energy comes down in the infinity pattern. And by the time the whole process is done, nothing is across from you. And then we go into a process where you just... I haven't had one person not see a beautiful being or a light after this coming towards them. And there's emergence of the parts of you that separated, that fragmented, when these incidents that you lit up and let go of, when they leave, you can see this beautiful part of you come back in and merge with you. And it's just such a treat for me to observe that at the end of the session and see wholeness come back to the client.
Wow. That is really powerful. Just taking back, this is called claiming your own power.
Yes.
And the only way you can do that is to release, as you say, just light it up and release the people that are sucking you dry, basically.
Yeah, and you don't have to paint a whole picture of it. You just have to know if you own that. For instance, a betrayal. If there was somewhere in the timeline where you have a betrayal between you and a sibling, just light it up. You don't have to see. It is so unnecessary to have to dissect exactly what happened. You just have to know if you own it. I feel it's feeding it and giving it more power, actually, even to go back and take a look at things too heavy.
Right, right. Well, does a person's level of consciousness affect their experience in a session?
We can go back to the client that came to me with asthma. I had never met her before. She called from Florida. And within 5 minutes or so, we had discovered that the asthma started the day she got married, that it had much deeper roots than just being asthma. You know, she had literally kind of had the air knocked out of her, lost her voice in some ways. But at a consciousness level, she wasn't ready
to really even hear that. But we worked together, and her consciousness level allowed her to have a physical healing. And her asthma symptoms went away for 2 weeks, but they came back. And I knew they would come back because it wasn't a complete healing, because she wasn't ready. Her consciousness level wasn't ready to look at the cause.
Right. So you have to have the ability or the level of consciousness to look outside of the third dimension.
Yeah.
And that's probably, when working with starseeds, it's probably much easier because the consciousness level is almost always higher.
Oh, yes, so, definitely.
Are there any specific energy modalities that you work with that you want to talk about?
I would imagine the main energy that runs through me. When I first started, I took Reiki, Yasui Reiki, and that is the basic and the first Reiki energy that ever came back through Master Yasui. And I really enjoyed working with that energy, but there were parts of even the story of how it was created that I just didn't resonate with my truth. And then I heard about an Egyptian form of Reiki, and they called it SSR, Sakim Reiki. And this, I was just so intrigued by this and really magnetized to work with Egyptian energy. So I took this Sakim class, and the energy was started by a man named Patrick Ziegler, and he was in the Peace Corps and happened to get to go to Egypt. It was his dream ever since he was a little boy to spend the night in the pyramid, in the Great Pyramid. So he's on a tour, and he snuck and wedged his body in between some blocks. And when the tour left, he snuck and got to stay and spend the night in the Great Pyramid. Well, it was much more than Patrick imagined, spending the night in the Great Pyramid. All kinds of energies came and visited him throughout the night, and he was downloaded with this matrix of energy. And he had not done energy work before, and he was gifted the information for the Sakim part of this matrix. And I would imagine it probably, from his story, it probably just about fried him. And be careful what you ask for. You will surely get it. yeah, sneaking and staying in the night in the Great Pyramid. Well, Patrick was led to the right people. I believe a Sufi master gave him some guidance on this. He took it to Australia, where a lady named Phoenix Summerfield added her spin, and it made its way back here to the United States, and a lady named Diane Ruth Schumacher, she added her spin. So this matrix of energy was really a group effort, which I also really like about this matrix of energy, because so much thought and so much was put into the story is a whole book about how this came about. And Sakim is an Egyptian word that means power or mana. Sakim is also the Egyptian equivalent of the Indian term prana in the words chi and ki, as used in the Orient to denote all the different types of energy. And it's the universal life force that binds the universe together, and it's present in all life. And Sakim is both all around us and in us. And Sakim, they sound very similar with their names, is living light energy, as well as an ancient Egyptian system of healing wisdom. And then combined with the Reiki energy, Reiki
is a Japanese word that means also universal life force energy. And when you combine these streams of energy, it is just such a unique healing matrix. It's an integration of three energies related yet distinct, multi-dimensional energies. Sakim and Reiki work together as a unified trinity of sacred healing energies. They completely balance and harmonize a person's physical, emotional, and mental and spiritual bodies. And this expands an individual's capacity to carry more light and love, and it anchors and grounds the essential life force within the person's energy field. And it just really also enhances any medical procedure you might be going through. And there's a lot of symbols. One of the main things that drew me to work with this Egyptian matrix of energy is I'm a symbol junkie. And I can't even tell you, there's over 20 symbols involved with this matrix of energy. And there are a few of them that it just, every time I use them, the power, when you put your intention in, and the symbols will actually move and go through a person's body and just retrieve information. It just depends on what the symbol is. So I use a lot of symbols in my work also.
Well, there's one symbol that you told me about the other day, and I guess just preface that by saying that both Tammy and I are huge Monty Python fans, and especially the Holy Grail movie. So, Tammy, you told me, well, you just have to get out the holy hand grenade. give a little quick synopsis of what is the holy hand grenade in the way you use it.
All right, the holy hand grenade I only use in extreme emergencies where I cannot get the energy to move or where there's just a roadblock. And I just have this box, and an energy usually brings me this box, and I say, hand me the holy hand grenade, and this box is handed to me. I pull out the golden hand grenade, and whatever the intention is, and the holy hand grenade's always full of that neutrality gold dust too. And so when you throw it, just gold dust just goes everywhere, and it just blasts out whatever you need to use it for. I use it for head colds, everything from head colds to ridding household pests away.
Wow, that's just such a great visual there. So, well, this time is really flying by. We have some callers with questions. So are you ready to take some questions here, Tammy?
Sure.
Okay. First of all, Ralph has a question for you. So let's get your open microphone here. Just hang on a second. Okay, Ralph, you're on the air.
Hello?
With Tammy Stair. Hey, Ralph. Hi.
Hi, Ralph. How you doing? Well, Tammy, I just want to first say that it just amazes me how much talent you guys have on your program. It's unbelievable. Each of you have certain gifts that are really valuable. I had no idea that you had these special gifts, so it's kind of nice. It's kind of cool. But my question is, how can you identify whether an illness is from, like, some karmic thing from past life or something that's happening in your body right now? And is it really important in terms of dealing with it using some of the tools that you have?
It would just depend, you know, what the injury, what you were talking about. Do you have anything to give me as an example?
Well, okay. Suppose you just have some arthritis in part of your body that's really kind of chronic, what they call osteoarthritis,
uh-huh,
or something like that. And maybe you've tried some different, different medications or different healing modalities, and nothing works. And I was just wondering it could be something that has something to do with something that we brought in from a previous experience. Or
what part of the body would this be hitting at?
Well, maybe in your back, or maybe in a joint, hip joint, something like that.
I find a lot in the back, especially in the lower back. We carry a lot of information in our lower back, and we that's where we process a lot across that lower back area.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of time, and it will create a lot of swelling, which then can run in sciatica. Nerves get flared up, and a lot of things can happen from that in the lower back. And we have these two little dimples. Right, they're above the base of the tailbone on your lower back.
Yeah,
and
yeah, I know what
a lot of energy stores in those spaces.
Mm.
And I have a procedure I call spinal cleanse, and it's amazing, Ralph, when you just get in and you can just get two fingers and gently break up the energy in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that happens, we don't get any energy flow. It goes up, it blocks the energy, our kundalini energy, actually, and it slows it up from moving up our spine from the base of the tailbone, and we don't have a good flow going up out of the top of the head.
Mm-hmm.
When we process and think, a lot of us starseeds, you know, we're in our head a lot. We're thinking. When we do that and don't release it and let it go, often we will get that in the hips. You know, we literally carry things. It's almost like our hips, how you hold a child and you carry them there on that hip. We carry a lot of other weight in our hips. So, you know, there's so many things that it could be tied into, Ralph. For instance, a lot of people that have arthritis and pain in their knees, we hold on to a lot of things in our knees. It could be things that we literally can't stand that we need to let go of. I find so much correlation to things. So to answer your question, I guess it would depend, you know, just where it is in your body. And it very, you know, likely could be caused by some irritation or something, you know, going on in your life.
Okay, but it wouldn't necessarily have anything to do with anything that's a karmic from a previous experience.
I guess it could. You know, I've not worked much with arthritis,
okay.
and every situation is different. You know, it
okay.
could be, Ralph.
Okay, all righty. Well,
I hope that helped you.
Well, some of the things you talked about, especially about the soul retrieval session, be very interesting, and we would like to get more information on that. So, but thank you for kind of unveiling some of your powers and your truth. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Ralph. It's nice to talk to you tonight.
Take care.
Thanks for calling, Ralph. Bye bye. You see, that's Tammy is so humble and modest that people can know her for a long time and not realize what she can do. So next we are going to hear from, as soon as I get the microphone open, hello, Helen, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi there.
It's nice to talk to you all. Well, Tammy's the real deal.
You sound like
you're
speaking from personal experience.
Oh, yes. I've known Tammy for 6-7 years now. I live in Ohio.
Uh-huh. Okay. So you have experienced her work for quite some time, and you just wanted to call and...
Testimonial, yes.
A testimonial, okay.
Hands-on and long distance, and she's worked on members of my family, too, and my parents. My mom has dementia.
Wow.
And My dad's going to be 90. He has heart issues. And the golden spatula, I love that. I use that a lot.
Yeah, Helen's one of my first receivers of the golden spatula. And
well,
her mom,
a great tool.
Her mom is a really good example of the spinal cleanse and how Helen's mother has Alzheimer's, and if she gets a good batch of spinal cleanse, she almost got booted out of the place where she's
facility.
Staying. The facility, because when she gets a good spinal cleanse, her mind clears up enough and she can crack the code to break out of the facility. So that's
twice she's gotten out. And it's a 4-digit code, and they can't figure out how she's getting out.
Oh, wow.
But her mind gets that much sharper after a spinal cleanse, even with dementia, that she'll watch people go out the door and see the code and get out.
Well, there's some presence of mind there. Well, that's great. Helen, thank you so much for calling in, and continue the good work.
Yes, Tammy. With Tammy's help. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I love you all.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Love you. Thanks, Helen.
Bye. Mm-hmm. Welcome. Bye.
Okay. We are going to hear from Joseph next. Hello, Joseph. You're on the air.
Hello. And hi,
Hello.
Tammy.
Hello, Joseph.
It's wonderful to talk to you under these circumstances, not just saying I'll be in the queue and we'll talk whenever there's time. I've been a Reiki master teacher for almost 30 years, and I have to tell you, you are such an eloquent, creative, powerful representative of the energy, and it makes me very proud to know you and to hear how creative you are. Actually, what I'd love to do sometime, Tammy, is just have a conversation with you and to share some ideas. I mean, in 30 years, I've had a lot of experience, and I'd like to share some of my perspectives and learn about yours. So my number's around there somewhere. So give me a call.
Well, I will, Joseph. It's always great to get with another Reiki master and share.
Oh, well, and I'm a symbol nut, too, so, you know, that'll be fun.
Yes.
Well, that's good. You can merge ideas and come up with new composite ideas.
Well, so as far as I'm concerned, Reiki is all about creativity, and it really does. When I hear about the woman who was able to get out, I thought, yep, they sparked into those energies. So it's all about creativity. I mean, I use it when I sing. I do opera, and I sing right through all the symbols. And it's amazing the effect it has on the audience. So that's just one aspect.
And I imagine that you tone when you do a session with your beautiful voice?
I do, yes.
Yes.
If it doesn't irritate somebody, yes. If it does.
Hello?
Joseph? I think we've had a little communication. Joseph, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. It's like your phone just cut out there for a second,
but
you're back.
It just fell off the table and unplugged itself.
Oh.
Said, let other people talk. You're going to talk to Tammy by yourself. So much love to all of you. And Tammy, give me a call, and it will be great fun to share.
Yes, it will. I look forward to our conversation, Joseph.
Okay. Bye-bye, dear.
Okay. Thanks, Joseph. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye.
Okay. Well, Tammy, we have another caller for you. And as soon as I get the mic open... Hello, Anna. You're on the air with Tammy Stair. I'm making rhymes.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I wondered if you have any insight into the Candida yeast connection I've gotten that several times, and it'll come back. It's very painful, and I've been on various medications. I don't know what you would have to offer on that.
Yes, and, you know, actually, I recently came across a medication that I can't recommend any higher for that. It's called Clarkia. C-L-A-R-K-I-A.
Is this a natural or is it prescription?
It's natural, and you can order it online.
Okay.
It is the best thing, and now there are many different ways to go in and take a look at Candida.
Mm-hmm.
How to articulate the cause of it, the root cause, where it originated from, to go back and track that down is always a really valuable tool.
Yes.
To deal with Candida.
Uh-huh.
And heal it on all levels. But as far as taking something outside of energy work, this Clarkia, I just can't recommend it anymore.
Is it herbal or is it?
Yes, it's all natural ingredients, and you can take it and mix it in with a drink or your food, or you can actually put it on an area.
Hmm. It doesn't have any side effects or any?
No. It actually is a blend of green and black walnut hulls, Louisiana and Western wormwood, and fresh cloves and grain alcohol. That's the ingredients.
Wow. Does it work in a cleansing fashion? Is that how it operates?
Yes.
That's what I was afraid of.
Well, it's not like the other products, and you can regulate it.
Oh.
Well, it sounds
like
that
this,
be...
you can actually put this on if you're being affected, you know, on the outer layer, you can put it right.
It's internal.
I just highly recommend this, and there are many ways to go in and take a look at healing this.
Mm-hmm. It sounds
to me. Google that.
It sounds like, Anna, if you get that product and get that going, and then maybe you can talk to Tammy privately,
mm-hmm.
and give her a chance to really take a look in and track it. But, I mean, Tammy, would you agree that the product will at least get her started? And then
yes,
you can
definitely.
Go and you can go clean out the corners later, but you can just get a lot of the work done. Get her going. So, Anna, I would really, really highly recommend that you arrange to talk to Tammy,
mm-hmm.
just privately, because you don't want thousands
of
people
real,
listening.
This is kind of a private subject. That's I'm having a hard time being articulate about it.
Right. I would have to go to her website and check it out.
Yeah, just go to TammyStair.com, and there's all kinds of contact information there, so you can
I appreciate that.
Follow up with that. Okay?
Right, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks
thank
for
you.
Calling, Anna.
Yes, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, if we have any other callers with a question, you would need to press 1 on your keypad so that we know you want to come on the air. Otherwise, we think you're just listening.
You know, Arielle, I have a question for you.
Oh, okay.
If that's all right.
Oh, sure.
You know, this is the first time I've ever been interviewed, and this has had me thinking a lot about how I do work and taking a big look at it. And when I was asked, do I remote view, do I do this, that, the other thing, it's many different ways. And I was just wondering, in my astrological chart, I have quite a few double zeros.
Well, you know, I was looking at that, and your moon, which is about intuition, psychic ability, is at
0 degrees and 0 minutes. And you've got 5 other placements at 0 degrees. And you, I mean, I look at countless charts and have over the years, and it's just not something you see that often, to see a planet at 0 degrees. And to have 6 of those in one chart, this means, this gives you the ability to look through the crack between the worlds. You can see more than one world. It gives you, the ability to see the third dimension, the fourth dimension, the fifth dimension, all the dimensions. When you were outside the grotto in France, and you said in a nanosecond you saw flashes from all different scenes from, you know, multiple places all at one time. That is how a 0 degree placement manifests. And you also have a stellium in Virgo, and you have a natural wheel, meaning that Aries is your ascendant. So all the houses are set at the sign that rules them. So your sixth house, which is ruled by Virgo naturally, all of your stellium of 4 planets in Virgo are all in the sixth house of healing. You so own your natural state, and you have taken up all of your rites of passage. You have so many things in your chart that give you the right to do this work. It's what you came here to do.
So these double zeros, is that what makes it easy for me to just, without even thinking about it, go to someone or see them in front of me?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because
when
Absolutely.
I would take classes, even traveling in a Merkaba or something, it just seems so effortless always. And I would be thinking it wasn't even really happening because it just was so natural and effortless.
Right.
So that
I was going to ask Lavendar if she has a comment on the 0 degree placements.
Yes, it really is the time traveler. It is coming back from the future. Going to the past, the present, the future, all 3 at once. It's parallel worlds. It's the crack between the worlds. It's called the universal traveler.
I mean, the moon at 0 degrees, 0 minutes.
Yeah.
I've just never seen that.
And therefore, since the moon rules the emotions and tides on the planet, it gives her the frequency and the harmonic to bounce through all 12 time zones. Because there, you know, with 0 degrees, it gives her the license to run through all 12 of the signs of the zodiac when the moon moves.
That's right. And, you know, Tammy, you've also got the mark of the Pleiades. You have one of your 0 degree placements is the planet Jupiter, and it's conjunct Neptune. So is that unlimited spiritual vision? Is that what you would say, Lavendar?
Yeah. Just mucho. Yeah. I mean, ever expanding. It's so big. You know, it's the smorgasbord.
Well, there's. It's just really great to see anyone who has their chart fully activated and is in their natural state, has total access to all rites of passage. And we're just really, really proud of you, Tammy. We're grateful that you are part of our team, and grateful for the work that you do for all the Starseed people and people really from anywhere. Doesn't matter if they're in China, Australia, or in your own hometown, because like you said, there's no time and space with energy.
Yeah.
So I think it's much more than remote viewing. Much more. And the way that you've taken all the modalities that you studied, and you take the part that really works of this one for you and that one, and you kind of have a composite Well, all the things that you know, you've really put them together in a composite of a composite modality that is all your own.
I'm so grateful to be remembering to do this work.
Well, and if anyone goes to your website and make sure you take a look at the orb pictures, I mean, your house, your property, every place you go, any picture, there's, you know, I've seen pictures with one or two orbs, but this is like a snowstorm. You know, it's like it's hundreds and hundreds around you, and it's like photographic.
I'm not allowed to take holiday photos for my family anymore.
You're not allowed to take holiday photos because of the orbs. They think it ruins it.
I'll go and see my grandkids at a school concert, and there's orbs all in the pictures that I take.
Well, the orb phenomenon is really dependent on who's clicking the camera. It's not about the camera. It's about the user of the camera and what can be picked up. So check out the orbs. And again, the website is TammyStair, TammyStair.com. And I think we've answered all the questions from callers. So this will be your last call for questions. Anyone, you have to press 1 on your keyboard if you have a question or comment for Tammy. And
could I say one more thing in closing?
Oh, sure.
This summer I heard Kathleen McGowan say repeatedly, "Let yourself be surprised by God today." And this morning I was a little bit nervous about doing my first interview, and I'm usually pretty nervous about talking on the radio, and I heard loudly, "Let yourself be surprised by the goddess God within today. Surprise yourself."
Well, I think it worked.
I just loved when I heard that. Surprise yourself today.
Yeah, allow yourself to be surprised and find things to be grateful for. So that's really a good note to end on. Lavendar, Chris, Anastasia, Tammy, our whole Starseed team here, we all thank you for listening, and I hope that you do take some time to check out Tammy's website, because she really is a jewel and can help a lot of people. So take advantage of what we've shown you tonight and empower yourself. And now it looks like we have another caller. It's so great winding up and nice and together, but we've got two more callers. Well, that's okay. We have 10 minutes. So we are going to take a couple more calls and then wrap it up. So first of all, we are going to be talking, as soon as the mic opens up, to Lori. Hi, Lori.
Hi, Ariel. Hi, Tammy.
Hi, Lori.
Richard's here with me listening as well.
Well, we're glad you called in. And Tammy, this is the Lori from France, just so that you know.
Yes, she sent me an email message before the show. Thank you for that, Lori.
Oh, you're so welcome. I am so thrilled for you. You know, you are the orb queen. When we were in France, you took some amazing pictures, and I think you uploaded some of those to your site. But I was just amazed, and what Ariel said is absolutely true. It depends on the consciousness of the person handling the camera.
It does.
But, yeah, we had a nice talk about orbs there in France.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I just wanted to share something while we were on the trip to France. I believe you gave someone some healing there, and they were raving about it. And I didn't know if you'd already talked about that or if this person had called in.
No.
Okay.
No, that hasn't been brought up.
Well, I myself haven't had the opportunity, but I will be giving you a call. Let me tell you something real quick, and maybe you'll have a hit on it, but I went to a workshop called Awakening the Illuminated Heart, and ever since that workshop, when I close my eyes, I see an eye, and even when my eyes are open and I cup around my eyes to create darkness, I see an eye. And now I can actually see the eye on cupboards and whatnot, and then I'll see the energy moving. It's quite extraordinary, and I'm really thrilled.
Wow.
Wow. And that's a result of this class.
Yes, yes. Yeah, we learned how to move our spirit inside of our body instead of just having it be in our head all the time. And it just really woke me up and really broke down some beliefs and paradigms about, you know, how your mind wants to understand something. Like your healing, for instance, in distance healing, your mind wants to understand how it works. But if you just allow and just trust, and I did that in this workshop, and I can't believe what I was able to do and what I can do now. So I wanted to pass that on to people. If you've never experienced a distance healing session before, don't try to figure out how it works. Just allow it to do what it's going to do.
That's right. Be grateful
and
allow it.
That's part of the recipe, yep.
Yeah. Well, great. Well, Lori, thank you so much for calling and sharing that. And it's good to hear your voice again.
Yes, you too. And your voice too, Tammy. I miss you.
Miss you too, Lori. We'll see each other soon.
All right. Blessings to everyone.
Thanks, Lori. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. Well, we have one more caller with a question, and we're going to try to make it kind of quick. Okay. Shani, you are on the air.
Oh, hi, everyone. Hi, Tammy. Yes, I just had a question. It's in regards to my natal chart. I have a, I haven't had a full reading yet, but I have Saturn 27 degrees in Taurus. And from what I understand, that's the mark of the Pleiades. Now, what exactly does that mean? I know it has to be quick, but what exactly does that mean?
Lavendar, do you want to answer that one?
Yes. When you have 25, 26, or 27 degree planets in Taurus or Scorpio, it is the alignment for the Pleiadian lineup that happens every May and every November, from May 15th to the 20th and November 15th to the 20th. And depending on your soul's pledge to come to the planet and do work with the Pleiadians. A lot of Pleiadians are on the planet now, and we have a lot of Pleiadian experiments and bloodlines that are running on the planet. So depending on where your Saturn sets and what house and what other aspects you have in your chart, Saturn is the one that throws the gauntlet down and says, I'm here. I'm holding the point for this action. That's what it basically means.
Oh, okay, because mine is in the 10th house. That's all I know right now. But
well, then that's in your career and how the world sees you.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. Now, does that signify that you're a Pleiadian starseed?
It could. I would have to see the rest of the chart.
Okay.
But, yes, it would say that you are holding some kind of starseed codes for the Pleiades.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks for calling in, Shani. Bye-bye.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
Okay. Well, Tammy, I feel like you're out of the closet now, and I'm just so proud of you, because I know that you don't – you're kind of like the quiet power. And like I said before, people can know you and not know what you do because you never talk about it. So I'm glad that we had the opportunity to shed light for the rest of the listening audience on what it is that you do and how wonderful your work is. So and you just, I know you were nervous about talking on the radio because you're just a very, you know, the woman behind the curtain, you know, like in The Wizard of Oz. You know, the woman behind the curtain is where your comfort zone is, but there's so many people that could benefit that the courage that it took you to come on the radio and talk about your work will benefit many, many people. So kudos to you for for stepping up and stepping
and
out.
Thank you. Thank you and Lavender so much for allowing me this opportunity. And
well, you know,
this
is a first,
me.
And you can't ever redo a first.
That's right.
That's right.
Thank you.
And we will be back next week. And Tammy, please keep us updated on new things that you might be doing, and we'll have you back on the show whenever you want to talk about anything that comes in or comes up or comes around. So thank you.
Is next week the 11th? Is it?
No. Yeah.
Yes.
Then we have Dr. Meg next Tuesday.
Okay.
Yay.
Great. So next week, Dr. Meg Blackburn-Losey will be on our show. And I would like to thank everyone for listening. We're here every Tuesday at 7 Eastern Time. And again, TammyStair.com. Check out the website. On behalf of all of our team here, Chris, Lavendar, Anastasia, and myself, thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye, everybody.
Well, we have a real treat.
Since I've been
here. You've been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com.
Bye-bye.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.